Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for their home opener this Sunday, 12 p.m. Central Time on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Not frozen yet. Packers facing that team from Washington. Getting ready for RG3 this weekend. If you didn't listen in, I make my weekly radio appearance, actually bi-weekly radio appearance on K107 here in Wisconsin, where I made my official Packers prediction after predicting a loss in week one. Writing for a Packers blog, Packers fans sometimes are not very happy with me when I predict a loss, but I was proven right. I don't know. It's like some fans, you got to predict them to go 16-0 or they're not going to be happy. But anyway, I look for the Packers to bounce back. I made my official prediction 33-21 over the Redskins. Now the rest of this episode, I'm going to tell you why. We're going to break down this game here, the Packers home opener on Sunday. And, you know, I kind of want to go through the team's injury report. I think that's where a lot of the major storylines are heading into the week one or week two game here. Now, the Packers are looking to avoid an 0-2 start. And actually, both teams are. Both the Packers and the Redskins lose in week one. You know, the loser of this week's game is going to start 0-2, and that doesn't bode well for them. 0-2 teams in the playoffs do not typically, state it like this. Teams that start the season 0-2 typically don't qualify for the playoffs. It's a rare occurrence, not without precedent. It's happened before. It's just very rare. I think there's like less than a 10% chance if you start 0-2, you make the playoffs. So it's not likely. It's just the odds are against you. You'll be digging yourself out of a hole. What other cliches can I possibly use here? But that the Packers looking to avoid that at all costs. No doubt about it. I wanted to look at the injury report here. Like I said, I think the guy people who are focusing on the most is safety Morgan Burnett. Obviously, the Packers got torched through the air this past week against the San Francisco 49ers. And they went in with a very distinct defensive game plan. They didn't dial up the pressure on Colin Kaepernick, their quarterback. The Packers really focused on stuffing the run and containing the pocket, trying to keep Colin Kaepernick from scrambling all over them. They sacrificed pass coverage as a result, but, you know, I don't know what the Packers do in week two against RG3, a guy who was thought to be a very similar threat to Colin Kaepernick. But if you watched the Redskins in their season opener against the Philadelphia Eagles, you didn't see the same guy. You didn't see the RG3 of a year ago. And it's really funny. I mean, I don't know. You know, there was so much emphasis placed on the read option, you know, coming into the season, Kaepernick and RG3 running the read option. Well, the Packers shut down the read option in week one, and they may simply not see it in week two because the Redskins are scared of, you know, further injuring RG3 or exposing him to injury. And he wasn't the same player. I mean, he didn't pass the ball as well. He didn't run the ball as well as he did last year. So I'm not really sure what happens, whether, you know, he's just a little rusty. I mean, you certainly can't take a guy like RG3 lightly because then he could burn you easily. I mean, maybe he just had to knock the rust off and this week he'll be back to his same old self. So did the Packers sit back and not rush him again? Well, if you watch the Philadelphia Eagles in week one, they blitzed the heck out of him. And what's interesting is RG3, a year ago, he was like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz. He's a guy you didn't want to blitz. You know, exactly like Aaron Rodgers. You don't blitz Aaron Rodgers because you get torched. You take away a guy from coverage, and he knows how to hurt you. Well, RG3, I was surprised how well RG3 did in his rookie year, in his first season in the NFL against the blitz. Rookies aren't supposed to act like that, but he did. But the Philadelphia Eagles turned the tables on him in week one, and maybe it was because he was injured. Maybe it's because he was kind of hurting. They felt like, well, he can't really handle the blitz as good. He's not going to be able to avoid it quite as well. Put a couple hits on him, you know, get in his mind. I don't know. Maybe the Packers kind of take their cue from the Philadelphia Eagles and do the same thing. Perhaps. We will find out, that's for sure. But he's a guy you can't take lightly, though. RG3, I mean, that's all you hear about in the media all week. RG3 this, RG3 that. And no doubt about it, I mean, the guy's a special talent. I mean, he deserves the attention from a production standpoint, or at least he did, you know, last season. You know, one of the most exciting guys to watch in the entire NFL. You know, from an entertainment standpoint, an entertainment perspective. You know, you can argue all you want about how well he'll do this year, and, you know, it's certainly up in the air at this point. You know, he didn't play a single snap in the preseason. And then he does come out and they clear him for action in the regular season and doesn't look all that good. And albeit we have a small sample size of one game. But the Packers gonna prepare for the explosive RG3. Gonna have to be ready for the read option just in case. I mean, heck, I mean, maybe you don't see it 20 times a game, but you see it two. You don't want those two plays to go for touchdowns, that's for sure, even if they only run the read option two times like they did in week one. So, but I think Clay Matthews will be up to the task. He certainly, you know, saw it coming against Colin Kaepernick and Frank Gore. Those 2 7-yard tackles for a loss were a thing of beauty. To go along with this sack of Colin Kaepernick as well. If it wasn't for that stupid penalty by Clay Matthews, if it wasn't for that penalty, he would have had such a terrific game. Oh, man, I mean, really, really terrific. That just kind of put a damper a little bit on his whole performance, but it played well regardless. And he'll be looking to stop RG3, Alfred Morris, on Sunday. It's weird. Alfred Morris was the first round draft choice of mine in the First and Crown Royal fantasy football draft I took part in with NFL bloggers from across the nation. And Alfred Morris, you know, he goes and has, what, 1,600 yards last year? I'm not sure that's rushing yards. I think that was all-purpose, right? Alfred Morris has 1,600 all-purpose yards in his rookie season in the NFL. You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, rookie, 1,600 yards. He's going to do even better in year two, right? Well, he didn't look any better in the season opener than RG3 did. But, you know, Alfred Morris doesn't have any injury concerns, so you got to be ready for him, too. So we'll see if the Packers' secondary does any better with Morgan Burnett in it. You know, a lot of criticism to the Packers' starting safety tandem of MD Jennings, Jerron McMillan, and Jerron McMillan in particular, I think, played poorly against the 49ers. Obviously, I think if Burnett's back, it's MD Jennings joining him as the starting, you know, safety duo back there. But Morgan Burnett, you know, last week he practiced Wednesday, Thursday, didn't practice Friday, didn't play in the game. And then this week they kind of find themselves at the same point. He practices Wednesday, Thursday, and now we're at Friday and we're going to see how his hamstring feels. How is he going to play? You know, if he plays. So his status is up in the air. The official game time projections, you know, the probable, questionable, doubtful projections don't come out till after practice today. So I think it's somewhere around 12:30 p.m. Those will come out or shortly thereafter, and we'll find out what Morgan Burnett's status is for the day, for the season or home opener. We'll see if he's going to play or not. Packers would definitely benefit from his presence if they do. He will be an upgrade over Jerron McMillan. In other injury news, there were a pair of starters that missed practice time this week, kind of unexpectedly, because it didn't appear they were injured in the week one game at all. That is tight end JerMichael Finley and guard Josh Sitton, a pair of highly producing offensive players at that. JerMichael Finley apparently suffered a toe injury during the game but stayed in. Basically a turf toe. It dorsiflexed, as I read the report, I think coming from Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Dorsiflexed. I just think JerMichael Finley got his foot caught underneath a defender, kind of in an awkward position, if you will, and hurt his toe, or where the toes meet the foot, that area, the joint there, kind of, as I understand it. He didn't come out of the game, and JerMichael Finley, of course, had an up and down game, had the drop that was then intercepted, but, you know, kind of came back and made up for it with the touchdown of his own later in the game. And so JerMichael Finley misses practice on Wednesday. Report actually comes out that he received treatment on his toes after Sunday's game. Kind of wonder how bad it might be if he's going out and getting treatment in Minnesota from his own, I don't know, personal physician, personal trainer, I don't know. But he comes back, though, and, Mike McCarthy actually said after the first practice of the week on Wednesday, he didn't expect JerMichael Finley to practice Thursday, and he's like, we'll kind of see where he's at Friday. Well, unexpectedly, JerMichael Finley actually did practice on Thursday after Mike McCarthy expected he wouldn't. And so I guess I can only take that as a good sign. I mean, he's ahead of schedule. And, you know, like I said, the Packers don't put out their game time practice projections until today after practice, but things are looking up if you're the Packers tight end. It would appear they would have his services, if I had to guess. Again, no guarantees here. Like I said, last week, Morgan Burnett practiced Thursday, Friday, and then sat out the game. So, you know, obviously we have to wait for official word. No guarantees being made. As far as Josh Sitton goes, as the story goes, his back starts hurting, gets sore on him. I think I heard during the flight out to San Francisco, and he kind of wondered, is it, you know, from a long flight, you know, heading out to the West Coast, one of the longer, you know, plane rides the Packers will have all season long. Could that be the reason? Well, regardless of the reason, it hurts anyway. But Josh Sitton fights through the pain. He plays during the game, doesn't have a very good game. You kind of wonder how much of an impact that might have had on his performance. You know, I think the three penalties more than anything, you know, contributed to him the perception that he had a poor performance. In fact, I didn't really like Josh Sitton's comments made to the media. I think they were yesterday. I can't remember what outlet I read them in, and I apologize, but he called, was it Justin Smith, the 49ers defensive lineman, of being a good actor who throws his arms up in the air. I just didn't like that from Josh Sitton, making excuses for his penalties. One of them was illegal hands to the face. Josh Sitton had his hands on the opponent's face mask. I don't know how you... there's no acting there, that's for sure. You know, keep your hands out of the gosh darn defender's face mask and you wouldn't get flagged. As far as the holding penalties, I thought one of the holding penalties was kind of questionable on Josh Sitton. Not sure about the other. You know, just don't make excuses. Just say you did a bad job, move on, you're trying to improve, whatever. Don't make excuses, Josh. Doesn't reflect well upon you. Anyway, Josh Sitton, dealing with the back injury, he doesn't practice on Wednesday this week, but does practice on Thursday. Same thing, appears to be progressing fine. Both Finley and Sitton, Burnett too, they all practice in limited fashion. They weren't full participants in practice, but, you know, the fact that they are practicing at all, you know, is a good sign. You know, forced to guess, I would say all three of those guys will be able to play in the game. Again, I can't make any guarantees. We'll find out later this afternoon, you know, what their status is. But things are looking good. I mean, the more you have a healthy team, you know, to work with, I mean, the better chance the Packers will have of getting a victory on Sunday. Jarrett Bush, a hamstring injury cropped up with him as well. The story there being, I think, the abundance of hamstring injuries. But poor Jarrett Bush, he fights through an ankle injury during training camp to actually come back during the week one game. And Jarrett Bush plays 50 snaps, 30 snaps on special teams. I believe he led the special teams in snaps, the amount of plays he played on the entire team. Jarrett Bush, of course, always being a big special teams contributor. The Packers special teams would take a hit without him. Say what you will about his defense, but the Packers special teams would take a hit without him. So kind of disappointing that he had a hamstring injury yesterday as well, although did practice in limited fashion. We'll see what his status is for today. So that's the Packers injury update. We talked before about RG3. Of course, he's kind of the focus of this game. But, you know, flipping it around, I think one of the stories there is the Packers offense facing the 49ers defense. The Washington defense. And being coordinated by former head coach Jim Haslett. So kind of a lot of experience, a lot of coaching experience, high-level coaching experience on the Washington defense. And they have London Fletcher, of course, who's a good player. What else do they have there in Washington? Ryan Kerrigan, right? He's looking good. Packers will have their hands full. I don't think anybody's going to say that Washington's defense is the best unit in the NFL, but there's some promising players on that side, good players that the Packers certainly can't afford to, you know, overlook. We'll see how the Packers offense, how their running game looks this week. Of course, there were a lot of issues with the Packers running game in week one. Very, very slow out of the gates. Penalties didn't help the matter. But they kind of stuck with it and got better as the game went along. You know, it would have been so much better had they avoided those penalties, because I think it wiped out like 2 10-yard runs last week. You know, you start adding 10-yard runs to your production and, well, yeah, you're doing pretty good. everybody wants to see Eddie Lacy kind of have a couple of those, right? Nobody wants to see. It was the same thing preseason week three against the Seattle Seahawks, and then week one of the regular season against the 49ers, Eddie Lacy went nowhere. So many of those runs for like no gain or 1 yard, just a killer. You hate to seeing those. But I mean, as long as he can get, you know, 4 yards, I mean, that's what you want. If you average 4 yards a carry, you want him to do even better. But as long as they can do that, you know, that's a good thing. We'll see where the running game goes this week, if it actually does get significantly better. Of course, your eyes will be on the offensive line, too, and the young tackles protecting Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, and Don Barclay. You know, they kind of experimented earlier in the week when Josh Sitton was, you know, missed practice on Wednesday, kind of a discussion about what the Packers do with their offensive line if Josh Sitton were to miss the game. And I think what you'll see, of course, is Don Barclay switching from right tackle to left guard. I think Don Barclay is the best backup guard on the team. And then, of course, they'll put Marshall Newhouse in at tackle. I mean, I think that's the way you go about it. Because I think there's a big drop-off from Marshall Newhouse to Greg Van Roten or Lane Taylor. I don't think you can keep Lane Taylor active. Well, I don't know. Maybe you could. By the way, Jonathan Franklin made his debut in the Week 1 game. He made his debut as a professional football player for all of one snap. The Packers made him active last week for one special teams snap the whole entire game. Anybody on the live blog, I wish I had a prize for you. If anybody could tell me the special teams unit that they saw Jonathan Franklin play on against the 49ers in week one. I was just going through the dope sheet for last week's game and found the playtime percentages. And it, of course, I missed it, the play he was in on. I was just curious about what unit he actually played in for one snap. I mean, they punted more than once the entire game. They kicked more than one extra point. I mean, what unit was it that he played on? Kickoff coverage, kick return? They play. I don't know. They must have just rotated him in there on one particular play. Anyway, John guesses it was punt or kick coverage. So maybe they could, you know, activate Lane Taylor ahead of Jonathan Franklin if they need to. Anyway. What do the Packers do? I think you shift Don Barclay over to left guard if Josh Sitton were to miss, and you've got Marshall Newhouse as your right tackle. I mean, you're putting your best line out there, I think. I just don't think that, you know, what I saw in the preseason from Greg Van Roten, although you would need Greg Van Roten active and still be a backup just in case. But I don't think he deserves a starting nod or Lane Taylor yet. I think he's just a little bit too green, a little bit too young and inexperienced. But anyway, Eric Young-Smith says it was a Packer kickoff. There you go. Congratulations, Eric. You win nothing, but you have my respect for knowing which play Jonathan Franklin played in the season opener. So, yeah, I mean, we'll be watching the play of the young Packers tackles to get back on track here. And you know what? I thought David Bakhtiari played incredibly well for his first professional game of his career. Yeah, he gave up the sack to Aldon Smith. No big deal. I mean, the guy's going to have a few mistakes. And it kind of looked bad when he went for the cut block early in the game on Aldon Smith and you know, comes up with a sack. But I think, as I believe the announcer, Troy Aikman, said, you know, right away, he says, you only cut block when you expect the pass to get out of the quarterback's hands quickly, you know. And I think there was kind of a miscommunication there, or, you know, maybe Rodgers did want to get rid of it quickly, but, you know, all of a sudden he sees a defender in coverage and he doesn't want to throw an interception, so he hangs on to it a little bit longer than he probably wanted to. You know, I think there was a reason Bakhtiari went for that cut block. He expected the ball to get out of there rather quickly. He didn't expect, even if he whiffed, for Aldon Smith to be able to get to the quarterback. So, all things considered, I thought for David Bakhtiari's first game, great. Could he do a better job in the run game? Certainly. But that's going to come in time. You know, the whole Packers offensive line, almost to a man, could improve. It was especially disappointing, and we talked about a little bit about this with Nathan Yonke on Wednesday, of Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, how disappointing the play of the Packers guards were in week one, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang. They've invested so much money into those guys, and to see them have arguably the worst performances on the entire Packers offensive line, the two most experienced members of the Packers offensive line, I mean, that's really disappointing. I mean, again, it's one game. Those guys, of course, it was their first regular season game at the new position. They made the switch, you know, flip-flopping right guard, left guard, both of them, Sitton and Lang. You would think in time they're only going to get more comfortable at their positions. They're not going to face an opponent probably quite as tough as the 49ers for quite some time. So all those things considered, you know, it's I think you take a step back and take a deep breath. And while you saw a poor performance, you just got to step back. And by the way, too, you know, I think a lot of people are overreacting to the play of the safeties in week one. I mean, no doubt about it. I think Morgan Burnett will be an improvement. But, you know, all week long I saw, why aren't the Packers bringing safeties in for a workout? Why aren't they going out and signing somebody? You know, with the report on Deadspin yesterday about Kerry Rhodes. Why aren't they bringing in Kerry Rhodes? I think step back for a second. Yes, the Packers safeties had a horrible performance in week one. I think the Packers want to see, you know, let's wait until we see Morgan Burnett back. Let's maybe find out what Chris Banjo's all about. You know, maybe then, if they continue to have a poor performance, then maybe let's press a little bit, get a little bit more scared, hit the panic button then. But until that point, I think you're going to see a much improved Packers defense, you know, this week. I think things will be, you know, the panic level is going to be a whole lot lower after this Sunday. You're going to see an improved performance with Morgan Burnett back out there. Even without Morgan Burnett back out there, I think you'll see an improved performance, you know, facing Washington as opposed to San Francisco. So, you know, chill out, you know, relax, take a deep breath. Packers will be okay. Like I said, predicting a Packers victory this week, 33-21. That's my prediction. That's giving up 21 points to the, you know, Washington. I almost said their nickname. Not going to do that. They're the team from Washington. You would rather not the Packers give up 21 points, but, you know, baby steps, I think. They gave up 34 points, was it, in the season opener? I think giving up 21 is a step in the right direction. And who knows, maybe they can keep improving from there. But I'm definitely excited. Like I said, a pair of 0-1 teams fighting for the right to avoid going 0-2. The Packers not wanting to dig themselves out of a hole. They get a victory, and that'll set themselves up nicely for a week three road game at Cincinnati in Jamie Snowden's town. Jamie Snowden going to be the Cheesehead TV representing Cheesehead TV in Cincinnati in week three. We'll talk more about that next week. But anyway, yeah, like Dre Divac on the live blog, throw out your predictions, everyone. I'm going to sign off. It's past 9 o'clock here at Cheesehead TV on Railbird Central. We broadcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So we'll see you back again on Monday where we'll recap the game. Stay tuned to Packers, Cheesehead TV for your Packers news needs all weekend long. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Enjoy this weekend's game.
Well, I ain't going back to the city no more. Staying right here on the farm. I drank that good corn liquor from a jar. Staying right here on the farm.